Now, we've been looking in Luke chapter 12. Jesus is warning about hypocrisy in the spiritual realm particularly. Obviously, he's talking about the Pharisees and the false religion, which at the time was the state religion that was going around, and the people were being led astray by the religious hypocrites. And in doing so, he basically tells us how to avoid false teachers, and that is to come to God. And the question is, therefore, how do we come to God? How are we his people? And Jesus gives us three key things. Honour God the Father is the first. But obviously the question then is, well, how do you honour God the Father? Which leads to the second, and that is, to honour God the Father, you have to honour God the Son, Jesus Christ. Which leads to a second question. Okay, so how do we honour Jesus Christ the Son? And the answer to that one is to honour the Holy Spirit. And of course, the answer then brings another question. How then do we honour the Holy Spirit? And that's what we consider this morning. So to honour God the Father, you have to honour God the Son. To honour God the Son, you have to honour the Holy Spirit. How do you honour the Holy Spirit? We'll find that out this morning. The verses that we want to look at are in Luke chapter 12, verses 10 to 12. So Luke chapter 12, verses 10 through to verse 12. And everyone who speaks a word against the Son of Man, it will be forgiven him. But he who blasphemes against the Holy Spirit, it will not be forgiven him. When they bring you before the synagogues and the rulers and authorities, do not worry about how or what you are to speak in your defense or what you are to say. For the Holy Spirit will teach you in that very hour what you ought to say. God bless his word as we consider that just in a moment. Before we do so, let's come to God in prayer. Father, again, we thank you for your word in our lives, the power, the authority, the transformation that occurs as a result of your word. Let it be so in each of us individually and as a church together. Let us draw to you, draw near, because of your Holy Spirit, because of your word in our lives, and therefore to be able to worship you as you should be worshipped, to mature and grow spiritually. And I pray that you'll open my mouth to speak your word for your glory. Amen. So as I say, we're looking at Luke chapter 12, where Jesus warns about hypocritical false religious leaders, such as in his day, the Pharisees. We don't have Pharisees today, but we do have many false religious leaders in all sorts of guises. And the question then is asked as we begin Luke chapter 12, how do you avoid such false religious leaders? Because Jesus says here, beware of the leaven, the yeast of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. So he's saying, avoid them, beware of them, be careful. So how do you do that? How do you protect yourself from false religion, false religious leaders? It's all around us. Every religion in the world, every form of apostate Christianity and unbiblical Christianity is a false religion. And Jesus says it's a form of hypocrisy and its leaders are hypocrites. Everything but the true gospel falls into the category of hypocritical religion. And Jesus is saying here it's got a tremendous power to influence people. And always remember, the most dangerous false religions, the most dangerous false religious leaders are those who are closest to genuine Christianity. I mean, many of the religions of the world obviously are not Christian, therefore easier to avoid. But the most dangerous, Jesus warns about, are those nearest to the truth without actually being the truth. Those who claim to be Christians, who claim to have Christian churches, but they do not accept and teach all of God's word. We'll see why that is so important in a moment, because that's really the answer to all of this. They do not accept and teach all of God's word. They claim to follow God, they claim to follow his word, and often, quite often, it's not what they do say, it's more what they don't say in false churches and false teachers. More what they do not say rather than what they do say. I mean, they'll often quote lots of good things, say lots of good things, quote even the Bible. But they don't stay true to all that God says. They'll pick and choose which bits to accept. They're more likely to follow what society or the world says rather than what God commands. It's said that the devil will tell you 100 things that are true in order to get one lie past you. That's how he works. And that's particularly how he works with false Christian teachers and false Christians generally. So the question is, how do we avoid them? Jesus follows up this warning by telling us how. Three duties, as I've already mentioned. Three things required for those who want to avoid false religion, who want to honour God, honour Jesus Christ, honour the Holy Spirit. And as I've already mentioned, to honour God, the Father, you have to honour Jesus Christ. To honour Jesus Christ, you have to honour the Holy Spirit. And it's only the people who know God in this way, who therefore had their sins forgiven, who therefore receive eternal life by honouring God, honouring Jesus, and honouring the Holy Spirit. We see God the Father is mentioned in verse 5. He's the one who has the authority to cast into hell even after you've been killed. He said, you know, don't fear people. People can kill you, yes, but if you're a Christian, they're just sending you to heaven. But God, well, he decides what happens after that. Jesus is mentioned in verse 8 as the Son of Man, and again in verse 10. And then we get the Holy Spirit mentioned in verse 10 and verse 12. So we get this progression. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. We've already considered points 1 and 2. So this week we're continuing with the third. How do we honour the Holy Spirit? Remember, just the background, Jesus begins with that warning, beware, in verse 1, of the leaven, the yeast of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. We've been learning over a number of weeks now, all false religion is hypocrisy. Not just the religion of the Pharisees, but all false religion. But at the time of Jesus, it was the Pharisees. People who claim to know God, but they don't. People who claim to speak for God, but they don't. People who claim to know the truth, claim that they're righteous, but they're not. People who claim to be headed for heaven, but they're not. Hypocritical, false religious leaders. And the dominant form, as I say, in Jesus' day, was the Pharisees, helped by the scribes. Remember, the scribes are the lawyers. They're the ones who sort of work out what you should and shouldn't do, and because they had not just the Bible, but they added a myriad of rules and regulations. And these are the ones who believed that you entered heaven by your works, by your ceremonies, by doing good. You got to heaven, they believed, by doing good things, which is not true. You do good things because you're a Christian. The good things do not get you into heaven. You get to heaven because of what Jesus did, not because of what you did or what you do. But this hypocritical false religion was very powerful, very influential, and it was, as Jesus says, permeating, saturated Jewish life. Most of the people followed it. That's why Jesus says it's like yeast. It permeates through all society. So how do we avoid it? Obviously, the way to avoid false religion is come to the truth, and that is the Bible. And that's what Jesus is telling us here. Remember, he's speaking to tens of thousands of people, directing his words to those who are identified as his disciples, learners, those who are still open to the truth. Most of the crowd, most of the people at this time have bought into the Pharisees' spin that Jesus only does what he does by the power of Satan, not by the power of God. He doesn't represent God, they say. He represents Satan. And the people are starting now to believe it. This is why eventually they'll cry, crucify him, crucify him. We do not want this man to rule over us. So they're beginning to turn hostile towards Jesus. But in the midst of this group, this crowd of tens of thousands, there are some who are still open. So Jesus is really speaking to them. Beware of this pervasive influence of all this false religion which is around you. So again, the question, how? How do I avoid false religion? The answer again, come to the truth. What is the truth? Jesus says, it involves honouring God the Father, honouring God the Son, and honouring God the Holy Spirit, the Trinity. No one can come to salvation who doesn't do that. Now, the Bible's very clear. Deuteronomy 6 verse 4, for example, there is only one God. Yet he is manifested in three persons simultaneously, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And salvation is therefore a work of the Trinity. You need to follow what Jesus is saying here. Remember the background, he's just pronounced six curses on the Pharisees and the scribes. There's a lot more to come, particularly if you read Matthew 23. He really lays into them in there. But for now, he's warning those who have not yet made a full commitment to the hypocritical religion and listening to him, open to the truth. And he says, everything begins with honouring God the Father. Now, of course, the people would have said, oh, we do that. We honour God the Father. We honour God of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. We honour the Creator God. We honour the God of the Old Testament. So Jesus continues, and he's basically saying, yeah, good, but that's not enough. Verse 8 and 9, we get that second requirement. I say to you, everyone who confesses me before men, the Son of Man will confess him also before the angels of God. But he who denies me before men shall be denied before the angels of God. So he's saying, yes, you should honour God the Father, but it doesn't end there. You've also got to honour me. If you want to honour God the Father, you have to honour me. That's that progression. Confessing the Father requires confessing the Son. You can't honour God the Father unless you honour God the Son. How do you honour God the Father? Honour God the Son. That's what Jesus is saying here. He says in John 5, no one honours the Father who doesn't honour me. Whoever honours me honours the Father. So in order to escape the judgment of those in false religion, you've got to honour God. How do you honour God? Honour Jesus Christ. No one comes to the Father except by me. That's what Jesus says. So we're getting this progression. It's a trinity. It's a progression. And that's why this morning we're looking at that third one. You need to honour the Son, but how do you do that? By honouring the Holy Spirit. That's what it says in verse 10 to 12. And everyone who will speak a word against the Son of Man shall be forgiven him. So Jesus is saying, you can blaspheme me, you can be forgiven. But if you blaspheme the Holy Spirit, that will not be forgiven. That's pretty serious. What does he mean by that? What's happening here? Well, in a sense, we've come to the end of the line in one sense. You honour God the Father, yes, but you do that by honouring the Son. You honour God the Son, you do that by honouring the Holy Spirit. But that's the end of the line. If you disobey, if you do not honour the Holy Spirit, if you blaspheme the Holy Spirit, there's nowhere else to go. Now you're finished. Now you're lost. You cannot be forgiven. What does he mean by that? Well, it all comes down really to hearing what the Holy Spirit says. And that is in God's word, the Bible. So the one to fear is God the Father, we've seen in previous weeks. The one to confess is God the Son. The one to hear is God the Holy Spirit. No one goes to the Father except through the Son. No one goes to the Son except through the Holy Spirit. And you get to the Holy Spirit by listening to what he says. That's why Jesus says, you are my friends if you listen to what I say. You are my people if you obey my words. It's all about the same thing. He says the same thing in lots of different ways. Let me explain by looking at a couple of passages that will set the stage. Firstly, to avoid the damning judgment that comes on people in false religion systems, you have to believe in the Father, but that's the first step. You have to believe in the Son. Now, the Pharisees, they believed in the Father, and that's why Jesus says, but, you know, that's not enough. You've got to go another step. You've got to also believe in me. You've got to acknowledge the Father. That's the first step, as the sovereign lawgiver. You've done that. The Pharisees did that. Lots of people believe in God. That doesn't mean they're Christians, necessarily. They might be, they might not. I mean, it says in James 2:19, do you believe in only one God? Good. The demons also believe and tremble with fear. And believing in God is not enough. The devil believes in God. He knows him very well. He's not a Christian. Believing in God is just the first step. That's what Jesus is saying here. The second step is believing in his Son. And the third step this morning, believing in the Holy Spirit. So the first step, believing in the Father as sovereign lawgiver. Believing in the Son as the Saviour and Lord, as we saw last week. And now the third step, believing in the Holy Spirit as the one who gives you the truth. So we honour God through honouring God's word. And then you can go backwards in a sense. No one comes to the God except through Jesus. No one comes to Jesus except through the Spirit. No one comes to the Spirit except through his word. In other words, the Holy Spirit tells you about Jesus. The Holy Spirit wrote the Bible. He did it through people, but he wrote it. They were inspired by the Holy Spirit. Let me show you two passages that are very important. 1 John 4 verse 1 says, "Beloved, do not believe every spirit." And what John is saying there is, just because somebody stands up in a pulpit, or somebody says that they're a Christian, or somebody says that they're a religious leader, or somebody says that they know anything about God, don't just believe what they say. Test them to see whether they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. And what John is telling us there is, the world is full of liars, deceivers, false prophets. They're everywhere. Just because somebody's in the pulpit, that doesn't necessarily mean they're telling you the truth. The Pharisees were in the pulpit, so to speak, in Jesus' day. They were not telling the truth. They were the state religion. Everyone looked up to them. Everyone thought they were telling the truth. Jesus said, they're not. So what John is saying here is, don't be gullible. Just because somebody says they have a word from God, or that God spoke to them, or told them this, or told them that, don't just believe them, because you can't necessarily trust what they're saying. So that leads to a very important question. How do you test them? How do you know that I'm telling you the truth this morning? How do you know that I'm telling you what God says? How do you know that I have in the past? He says in verse 2, this is how you know. So he's about to say, this is how you know when someone is speaking from God. This is how you know that the message is from the Holy Spirit. Every spirit, he says, that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. And every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. They are the spirit of the Antichrist, of which you've heard, that's coming and now is already in the world. So he says, when it comes to the truth, there's only two options. Somebody either is speaking from God or they're not. And if they're not, it's from the spirit of the Antichrist. Because if they're claiming to speak from God but they're not, that's Satan. Every time. There's no middle ground. Jesus says, whoever is not with me is against me. That's what he meant. So he's saying, you can't afford to be gullible. You can't just believe anybody that anybody ever says. You can't believe them just because they say they're from God, just because they claim. So how do you know? How can you trust what this person or that person says? All you got to do is ask, is it a true confession of Jesus? In other words, does it fit with what it says in the Bible? It's pretty simple. Anyone who does not confess the true Christology is not from God. The truth about Jesus, what God says through the Holy Spirit in the Bible, that's the test. Is it consistent? Does it fit with the Bible? And as I've mentioned many times before, you can check with anything I tell you. If I ever tell you something that it isn't consistent with the Bible or that contradicts the Bible, then you know you've got a problem. Because the person in your pulpit is not from God. They're from Satan. Remember, there's only one or two options. Does it fit with what the Bible says? The Holy Spirit's testimony to Jesus is the only way to know the truth. You can't know it intuitively. It's not some transcendental exercise. It's not some esoteric experience or the musings of your own mind. It's only, always, what does the Bible say? That's it. What I think is not really relevant. What you think is not that relevant. It's what God says. Romans 10 verse 17, faith comes, how? By hearing the word of God. That's it. That's how you get faith in the first place. Who's the author of the word, the author of the New Testament, the author of the Old Testament? The Holy Spirit. And this is why it comes in that progression. You can't honour God unless you honour Jesus. You can't honour Jesus unless you honour the Holy Spirit. You can't honour the Holy Spirit unless you honour his word. That's the end of the, well, everything really. The Holy Spirit wrote the Bible. You can't reject Jesus Christ and know God. You can only know the Father if you know the Son. You can only know the Son if you know the Holy Spirit and what he says. So if you don't have the right teaching about Jesus Christ, if you don't believe the right teaching about Jesus Christ, you don't know God. That's it. You can't know what is true of Christ unless you have been told. And the only way that you will be told is not by some person in a pulpit, unless they speak what God has said. In other words, they're only telling you what it already says in the Bible. You could read it for yourselves. In one sense, you don't need me. But in the sense you do, because I point out where it says in the Bible this, 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 and this. But all I'm doing is pointing you to the message. I'm not the one who served up. Well, I'm in a sense, I'm like a waiter. I haven't even prepared the meal. All I'm doing is serving it over to you. It's already there. It's there in clear words from God. And the Holy Spirit is the main point of that. Holy Spirit is the one who gives life, it says in 2 Corinthians 3, verse 6. The Holy Spirit is the one who regenerates, it says in John chapter 3. The Holy Spirit is the one who convicts of sin and righteousness and judgment in John 16. How does he do all that? He doesn't do it in a vacuum. You haven't heard him. You haven't seen him. You can't touch him. You can't feel him anywhere. He does that through the Bible. That's all you've got. That's your only connection with God. So it's the reading of the Word of God, authored by the Holy Spirit, that initially brings you to salvation and then causes you to grow and mature. Because it's the Bible that reveals the law of God. You're measured against that law. Therefore, you know that you're a sinner. That's how you are convicted of sin. That's why you then go to God and say, "Forgive me, I'm sinful." Why? Because it says so in the Bible. You wouldn't know what sin was without the Bible. You wouldn't know what goodness, what righteousness is without the Bible. You wouldn't know what judgment is without the Bible. You wouldn't know that God has said this is how you live and you don't live like that. Therefore, you're a sinner without the Bible. So the Holy Spirit brings conviction through the Word of God, the Bible. Regeneration, again, through the Bible. New life, through the Bible. He does everything through the Bible, which is obvious because that's all you've got. 1 Peter 1 verse 23, we have been born again through the living Word of God, the Bible. And this is the Word which was preached to you. This is how you are a Christian in the first place. It's the Word of God, the Bible, 2 Timothy 3 says, that is able to make you wise unto salvation. It saved you in the first place. So how do you know then that the Spirit of God is speaking? It's easy. Does it fit with what the Bible says? I mean, if I was to say to you, it's okay to have same-sex marriage. It's fine. Don't worry about it. I mean, the society says it's okay, therefore it's okay. There's a problem because God says no. I'm now telling you something that God has not said. He says the opposite. Therefore, I'm preaching falsehood. I'm telling you something that's false. That's a problem. And if I ever do that, I shouldn't be stood here doing anything. You can't trust me anymore. You can't trust what I say anymore because I'm now, I'm really disagreeing with God. I'm contradicting God. He says that, I've said the opposite. You see the problem? It's so obvious. It's so clear. It's so crystal clear. You can't know God the Father except through the Son. You'll never be able to know the Son except believing in the testimony of the Holy Spirit. What's the testimony of the Holy Spirit? The Bible. So if you want to honour God, it's back to the Bible. There's nowhere to get there apart from the Bible. It's all about the Bible, how to honour God. We see this in the New Testament. We see a problem in the Corinthian church. You probably should have heard of the Corinthian church. Paul writes to the Corinthian church. He writes a couple of letters. He actually wrote four. We have two of them recorded in the Bible. But there was a problem there because they didn't listen to what God is saying that I'm telling you this morning. They'd managed what they did is to import into the church all the bad things from their life beforehand. You see, what they had done was they were so steeped in paganism that it found its way into the church. They moved away from the Bible. And the worst was that they were into pagan religions before they got saved. Now, the pagan religions, what they would do before was it was all about ecstasy and enthusiasm. And you would always get yourself into a euphoric state through gluttony and drunkenness and orgies and all sorts of weird and strange and disgusting things. You worked yourself up to commune with your so-called God by some sort of physical euphoria. And they thought, that's how you commune with God. So when they became Christians, they still had this in their heads in Corinth. And they thought, we need to do that in the church. They didn't leave behind the past things. They brought them in to the church with them. And they attached them to spiritual gifts. You see, the Holy Spirit had given certain spiritual gifts, abilities for people to minister to each other. But the people at Corinth, and this is why Paul has to write and correct them, they perverted it, all the spiritual gifts, by making them all in this sort of ecstatic experience. The charismatic church still do it today. And it was so bizarre. Paul has to write in 1 Corinthians 12, concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, which are good, I do not want you to be unaware or ignorant, because you know that when you were pagans, you were led astray to the dumb idols, whichever way you were led. He's saying, you know, you used to do this and you used to do that. Forget that. Don't bring it into the church, into spiritual gifts. It's demonic. That's not how it works. You see, when they were saved, they thought, this is how you commune with God, by getting all this ecstasy. And they dragged it into the church. And it got so bad that in verse 3, Paul, this is how severe it got. Verse 3, he says, therefore, I'm telling you, and he's really telling them off, no one speaking by the Spirit of God can say Jesus is accursed. That's how it was in the church at Corinth. It got so bad that people were standing up in the service and saying, I've got a word from God, Jesus is accursed. Nobody dared say anything because they would say, well, hang on, that's my personal experience. You can't criticize my personal experience. I'm saying Jesus is accursed, therefore, you know, you can't criticize that. It was so blindingly obvious, not from God. And Paul says, how can you do that? But they were allowing it in the church because it was a supernatural manifestation. And anyone could stand up and say anything they wanted. Again, you get this today in the charismatic church. Somebody will stand up and say something. You can't criticize them because, no, that's my personal experience with God. Well, you know, you could say anything. Even in this church in Corinth 2,000 years ago, Jesus is cursed. Who's going to criticize me? Because I'm speaking from God. Then he goes on to say, actually, no one can ever say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. It's the opposite. Very important. No one can ever confess that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. He's saying this is how bad it gets. You can't worship God in a vacuum. It's all about worshiping God, yes. But then through Jesus, through the Holy Spirit, which is through the Bible, so you worship God back to the top through the Bible. Not what you think. So if you stand up and you say Jesus is accursed, you know that's wrong because God says in the Bible that he's not. Or anything else you might say. That's why it's so important to stick to everything that God says in the Bible. Bait, all of it. That's how you honor God the Father. In other words, that's how you are a Christian in the first place. Which leads us to verse 10 here. Everyone who speaks a word against the Son of Man, it can be forgiven. But if you blaspheme the Holy Spirit, you can't be forgiven. You can be forgiven if you blaspheme God. You can be forgiven if you blaspheme the Holy Spirit, Jesus. But you cannot be forgiven if you blaspheme the Holy Spirit, because that's the end of the line. Now that verse, it's been misused and misapplied and misrepresented. What does it mean to blaspheme the Holy Spirit? Some people in charismatic movements say it means you deny somebody's tongues or somebody's revelation or words of wisdom. That's what was happening in Corinth. They would say, Jesus is accursed, you can't deny that because I'm speaking through God. But it's got nothing to do with that at all. Notice it starts in verse 10. Everyone will speak a word against the Son of Man, it can be forgiven. I mean, I wouldn't recommend you do that, but even if you did that, you could be forgiven. There wouldn't be any Christians if that couldn't be forgiven, because before we were Christians, we were all doing that. Every person before they converted technically is a blasphemer. So obviously you need to be forgiven for that. To blaspheme means to reject Jesus, to deny Jesus, to deny Christ, to deny God the Father. Obviously, you can be forgiven that because you all have been. We all have been. Jesus said, you're either for me or against me. You're either for him or against him. But you can be forgiven for that. Blasphemy is not some unique, extraordinary evil or isolated act or an expression. I mean, it's the way of the human race. It's blasphemy to break God's law. It's blasphemy to ignore God. It's blasphemy to reject Jesus Christ. And anyone who's been saved has been forgiven for their blasphemy. That's obvious. But here's what can't be forgiven. Verse 10, he who blasphemes against the Holy Spirit can't be forgiven. Why? Because the Holy Spirit is the revealer of salvation through Jesus Christ, the way to honour Jesus, the way, therefore, to honour the Father. And if you reject what the Holy Spirit says, you can't honour Jesus and you can't honour the Father, because that's the progression. You're going backwards on it. This is basically the blasphemy of not accepting what the Holy Spirit says. It's the blasphemy in the sense of not being a Christian. They are my people if they accept what I say. Therefore, if they don't accept what I say, they are blaspheming the Holy Spirit. Therefore, they can't be forgiven. It's obvious when you think about it. And that's what the Pharisees have done. They said Jesus casts out demons by Satan. You can't be forgiven that, because if that's really what you're saying, you're not a Christian. You're not one of God's people. It's unforgivable. You can't say that and mean it all your life and be saved. That's what they were doing. They weren't just rejecting God the Father. They accepted God the Father. They said, yes, we believe in God. But they were rejecting the Son through the Holy Spirit. They're rejecting the testimony of Jesus by the Holy Spirit. They were rejecting the Bible, or at least some of it. You can't reject some of it. You reject some of it, you reject all of it. They accepted all the Old Testament, pretty much, but not all, every bit of it. And that's the problem. Once you cut yourself off from what the Holy Spirit says, the Bible, you can't honour Jesus, you can't honour the Father, you can't be forgiven. That's why Jesus says in verse 29, this is a wicked generation. Wicked generation. Because they did not accept all of what God says. And that's the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. You know, Jesus said lots of wonderful things as well to the disciples, as we see as he continues on in John 14, verse 26. He says, the Holy Spirit will be sent by the Father. He will teach you all things and bring remembrance to all that I say to you. John 15, verse 26. When the Holy Spirit comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, he will bear witness of me. He's saying that he's going to tell you. He's going to write it down in the Bible. He's going to tell you about me, about what you need to know, about what you need to do. It's all going to be written down through the Bible. Therefore, if you reject what he says, recorded in the Bible, you can't be forgiven, because you've rejected what I'm telling you. And that's what the Pharisees did. They thought they were honouring God, the Father, but they refused to honour the Son, and therefore they were not honouring the Holy Spirit. Therefore, they said that Jesus is the one blasphemy, but it was actually them. They blasphemed the Holy Spirit. In other words, they denied the truth of what God said in the Bible. That was it. Let me give you a couple of illustrations to end with, just to show you how important the Bible is. We get a warning in Hebrews 6, verse 4, to the people who have been exposed to the Bible. These are people who've been in the synagogue, same today, in churches. They've heard the Bible. They've heard it preached properly. In the case of those who have once been enlightened, to be enlightened means you've heard the truth, you've heard the message, you might have heard it in church, somebody might have witnessed to you, you've heard it. In other words, you've heard salvation and so on, and been partakers of the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit is the one who wrote it. And tested the good work of God and the powers of the age to come. Again, because you've heard it from somebody. Perhaps a sermon, perhaps another Christian. But the point is, he says, if you've heard it and then you fall away, it's impossible to be renewed to repentance. This is the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit, just in a different way. You can't be saved. Why? Because you've rejected what God said. And that's what it means to be a Christian. To be a Christian means to accept what God says. Therefore, if you reject what God says, you're not a Christian, obviously. Now, I've already mentioned tomorrow I'll have been a pastor here for 24 years. That's 24 years of me telling you what God says. You can check up on me. You can even check up on the past, because it's all on the CDs. So you can check up at any time anything I've ever said. Does it fit with the Bible? Some have listened, some haven't listened. You have, you're still here. But some reject what God says. That happens everywhere. But if after all that revelation, what he's saying here is, all of that enlightenment, you still don't accept it, you can't be saved. Because the only way to be saved is to believe what God has said. All I've ever done is tell you what God says. In Hebrews 10 verse 26, we get a similar warning. If you go on willfully sinning after receiving the knowledge of the truth, in other words, of the Bible, then no longer remains a sacrifice for sin. In other words, if you reject what God says, there's no other provision. And he says in verse 29, how much severer punishment do you think that you will get if you have trampled underfoot the Son of God? In other words, you've heard the message, you've been in a church, you've heard the message of truth, you've gone to services, but you reject it. You're in a worse situation than anybody who has never been to church. Because you've regarded as unclean, he says, the blood of the covenant of Christ, which was sanctified, and insulted the Spirit of grace, the Holy Spirit. You've insulted the Holy Spirit. It's the same. Blasphemy of the Holy Spirit is not accepting what he says. You've rejected the message of the Bible. You've insulted the Holy Spirit who brings that message. That's what it means to blaspheme the Holy Spirit. It's basically not being a Christian, which means you're not accepting what he says. You've rejected the Bible. You can't be saved because that's how you are saved, by accepting the Bible. You've insulted, you've blasphemed the Holy Spirit. It's not possible to be forgiven because it's a final rejection of his word. You can't accidentally blaspheme the Holy Spirit. It's a conscious decision that all your life you don't accept something that God says. You don't accept God's word. You cannot be saved if you don't believe the testimony of the Holy Spirit. It says in Romans 10 verse 17, faith comes from hearing the word of God. That's how you're saved. So if you want to escape the hypocrisy of false religion, you honour the Father. But to do that, you've got to honour the Son. That means confessing him as Lord, which means the same thing as the Holy Spirit. As Lord means you do what he says. And you can only do that by honouring the Holy Spirit. And you can only do that by believing what he says in the pages of the Bible. Accepting his word. And then we get, finally, just to end with, verses 11 and 12, a real good promise to those who do accept it. And he said, but if you do accept what God says, they'll even bring you before the synagogues and rulers and authorities. In other words, you will be in trouble because society won't like it, and you could be dragged before the courts even. You could be killed, and many of them were. But don't worry at that point, he says. Don't even worry about what you're going to say, because the Holy Spirit will teach you in that hour what you should say. And what he's saying is here is, not only do you get to be a Christian, not only do you get to be acceptable to God, not only can you honour God, but God will literally put his Holy Spirit, who gives you the truth, who wrote the Bible, who is the means of your salvation, he's going to put him right into your life, right into your heart. You will have God's Holy Spirit within you from that moment on, and that's the seal that makes you a Christian in the first place. And as well as teaching and encouraging you, he will sustain you in difficult hours. You will be a believer. He will assure you, and he'll help you to say the right things at the right times. Whenever you go through difficulties, he'll go through them with you. He will encourage you. He will comfort you. He will strengthen you. The Holy Spirit becomes your permanent guide and leader and anointing. Your internal teacher, keeping your faith alive and intact. It's one of the reasons why you know that somebody's a Christian. They don't ever give up, not because they're strong, but because the Holy Spirit lives within them, and he'll never let them give up, no matter what happens, no matter how difficult it gets. They'll keep on going. No matter how much pain or suffering they ever go through, the Holy Spirit strengthens them and keeps them going. Even in the most distressful, horrific, threatening circumstances, they will endure. Why? Not because of their own strength, but because of the Holy Spirit. If they could fail, they would fail, but they won't, because of the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit is everything. He is the one who tells you how to be a Christian, who gives you the faith in the first place, and he lives within you from that moment on. So if you're a Christian, you honour God the Father by honouring God the Son, by honouring the Holy Spirit, by accepting what he says in his word. That's the only way to be saved. And if you don't accept what he says in his word, you're not honouring him, therefore you're not honouring the Son, therefore you're not honouring the Father, therefore you're not a Christian. It's all about God's word. Now I'm off next Sunday, as I mentioned, but when I come back, we're going to be looking at the rich young fool who didn't honour the Holy Spirit. And after that, what we're going to do, I'm going to tell you how to live without worry. So when I come back, we'll do the rich young fool, but after that, I'm going to tell you how to live without worry. You might want to come along and listen to that, because that's going to be quite important. How do you live without worry? There's an answer, but you're going to have to wait a bit to find out. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that we can honour you as our Father because we honour your Son. We accept him as Lord and Saviour because we honour your Holy Spirit, because we honour your word. We believe your word. We accept your word. That's what it means to be Christians. That's what it means to accept Jesus Christ as Lord. We honour you by honouring your word. We thank you that we do that not because we've worked it out for ourselves or because we're moral or because we're spiritual or anything apart from that you've revealed it to us. We thank you for your Holy Spirit within us. We thank you, Father, that we need never worry. We thank you that we are always your people and always will be because of your Holy Spirit, because of Jesus, because of you. Amen.